My granddaughter, when she was about Naomi's age, got a trip to the Build-A-Bear store, where she got to design and assemble. She chose a kitty. She designed and assembled her own stuffed kitty, which she absolutely adores. You know, you get to put the heart in and design it yourself. Build a bear shop. Well, for us, as we get older, what we'd probably like a trip to is the Build-A-God store, where we get to design and take home exactly the God we want. So, if you could go to that store, what kind of God would you build? One who didn't expect anything from you? Who did all the work? God, feed the hungry, and don't bother me with collection boxes or the ELCA hunger appeals. God, restore power and water to Puerto Rico, but don't ask me to make any hard choices about how our tax dollars get spent. I'd design a God who would do all the heavy lifting for me. One who'd be like the Messiah, the Son of the Living God that Peter expected, who would banish evil and correct all injustice, and all I'd have to do is cheer him on. Yay, go God! Peter found this God that he got in Jesus not to be that kind of a God at all. He found Jesus very disappointing. And while I'm building this God of mine, I'd want a God who operated like Amazon Prime, you know, deliver within hours to us inside members who are all signed up with the right God. Abraham often expressed his disappointment in a God who took so much time in delivering on this promise of a son. Ah! We're not keen on a God who expects us to be patient. It's disappointing to get all excited about promises from God, like Abraham did, for children and a permanent home, and then it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen. Maybe there's times you've been disappointed in God, too. We're not wrong to wonder where God is when we learn that a beloved partner or parent is sick to death. Our prized relationship has crumbled. Our dream job, and with it so much of our identity, has been eliminated. Or in any other of the disappointments and disasters that befall us. Because everything in us teaches us that those kinds of things are not what our God wants or desires or wills. No, we are not wrong to be disappointed in God. There's some sense that being faithful, being faithful deserves some kind of reward when it comes to the travails that are part of being human and living in a real world of natural laws and from living with other humans that have free will. It's disappointing that our God doesn't find us more special. Like Peter, we're disappointed because we don't get the God we want. The God we've been taught to worship. The God we have a right to expect. And yet, Peter's disappointment comes exactly because Peter has just named this man Jesus, to whom he's pledged himself, named him as indeed God's promised Messiah, the living and breathing hope of Israel. Jesus, you're the Messiah. How come you're not telling us about all the goodies we're going to get because we're your first and loyal followers? Instead, Jesus, you're talking about crosses? Taking up a cross? And Jesus, I really don't want to do that, because taking up my cross means letting go of what I expect from God, and embracing what God wants. Perhaps you feel that same trepidation that Peter and I feel. Perhaps you also really don't want to let go of what you want from God, from the kind of God that you want your God to be. Perhaps you too would rather step back from trusting the unknown and embracing what this God in Jesus wants. That means stepping out in faith. And faith means trusting that God is able to do what God promises, despite all the evidence to the contrary. I'm 99 and gonna have a baby. And so is your boy. Yeah. It means being willing and open to change. It means acknowledging that God may call you to a place that will change you, not to a place where you get to be in charge of changing others, no matter how good your intentions toward them might be. Peter wants to be a change agent. He wants to change Jesus' mind to protect Jesus from harm, and Jesus says, no. Peter, it's your understanding of God that needs changing. And Peter finds out that the type of God that he wants is not the one that he really needs. That a revolutionary leader that shows up to lead great victories is not the one who shows up when we're most broken and disgraced. Our God is the one who in Jesus has shown us a God who always shows up and only in the broken places of our lives and in our world. And because in that God, the God that you get in Jesus shows up in the most ugly and broken and secret places of your life, because of that, with this God, you can be yourself. This God is the one place where you can be totally real. In a society where there's no privacy and only judgmental media. In those little House on the Prairie days, if you made a serious mistake, even went to prison, you could move out west and reinvent yourself as a changed person. Nowadays, it's that one indiscreet email 20 years ago that's going to follow you all the days of your life. Now is an urgent time for you to have a God whose goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. We need a God who sheds glory in order to join us in our shame. The God who leaves heaven to enter our hells on earth. The God who abandons strength, at least strength as we imagine it, so that God can join us, embrace us, hold on to us, love and redeem us in our worst places, in our places of weakness. In other words, the God we need is the God that we meet in Jesus, who comes for those who are broken in body, mind, or spirit, comes to be one with us and for us. This God will understand our disappointments and even expects them. Moreover, this God will meet us in those disappointments to teach us anew and again that it's in those places of brokenness that we sense and meet and are fully enveloped in God's strong love. And because this is a God, before we can be completely honest, this is also a God to whom we can confess our disappointments and our doubts. things that are all a part of the life of faith. Doubting that God knows the right thing to do or the right outcome is not wrong. In fact, being secure enough in your faith to name to God the things that you wish God would do differently is part of your Lenten journey of renewal in faith. And it results in a deepening and growth in faith and in your relationship with God. The struggles of doubt and disappointment, whether you meet them in Lent or another time, those struggles are a part of God's gift of faith to you. And for them, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.